الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: اللهم بارك لنا في رجب وشعبان وبلغنا رمضان. صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. As far as the namaz is concerned, we explain four aspects. That is, we should try our best to have our five types of namazes in order. Especially now when we have come here to the Khanqa to make our islah, here our namazes, we should have our five times namazes. And as explained, what jamaat, try our utmost that we are with takbir e ula in the first saf. And then consider and think seriously about our past life, if there aren't any namazes qada. Many times we just take it for granted. Many times a person, he was living a reckless life, far from deen, then he went in jamaat, for example, or khanqa, or umrah, or anything, and he changed his life. Then he just doesn't think about his past life, that how many namazas are qada, how many gunas he committed, he was to make tawbah from them. Usually our mind just blanks out there. It's very, very important, especially our namazes, all our gunas, to make tawbah from them. And if namaz, if we have missed namazes, the missing of namaz is a gunah. So we have to make tawbah. And reading that namaz is also necessary. There are two things which are necessary. Not just making the qada and then it's over. No, we have to make tawbah of missing those namazes also on the appropriate times. So that tawbah, and tawbah alone is also not enough. Making tawbah that we missed out our namazes, and then we don't make the namazes, that's both things are necessary. Tawbah also is required, and we have to perform those namazes also. And many of us take it for granted, we are okay now. But if we just think carefully, we'll really analyze and we'll get perhaps surprised that how many namazes we have missed. So we should make our namazes. And then the outward portion, the outward structure of namaz must also be correct. One point that we will mention today, which our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, should explain very beautifully, that when we fasten our hands, then it should be in this way here. With the three fingers at the wrist here, after the wrist, the three fingers must rest there. And then with your thumb and your small finger, make a ring. And Hazrat should also say, in his beautiful way of explanation, that just drop your hand fully down. Don't look, it must be below your navel. And Allah has made the hand such that the minute you drop them fully down, it's below the navel. So Hazrat should say that don't in your namaz look for your neighbor. That the people will think, oh, what's wrong with these Muslims? That when they're making namaz, they're looking for their neighbor. So you don't have to look for your neighbor, you just drop your hand fully down. This is according to Ahnaf. Shawafi, Manana? Neither? Between the navel and the chest, according to Shawafi. And also the same, three fingers and that. But between those who follow the Shafi Madhab, between the navel and the chest. And for the Ahnaf, between the, below the navel. So just drop your hands fully down, those who are the Ahnaf, and it will be below the navel. So this is also important. Sometimes we find some people making namaz like in a careless way, just like this. That shouldn't be like that. It should be like this, properly. And we try and maintain that. And also, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to explain very beautifully, like in the aeroplane, they show you that how the seat belts, how they just clip into one another, neatly into one another. So especially when you take off and land, they want, it's a law, that you must be belted. Your seat belts must be on. Yeah, you are taking a flight, not from here to Makkah to Jeddah. Yeah, you are taking a flight to the Arsh of Allah Ta'ala. As-salatu mi'rajul mu'min. That namaz is the mi'raj of a mu'min. You are going there. And if you are not belted, then you will fall off. And that is what happens to most of us. Then our thoughts are not in place. Our thoughts are not in namaz. We just start off and our thoughts go astray. Because we didn't do, this has an effect to belt up. So we have to put on the seat belts. When we make our namaz, make sure that we have got our seat belts on and we fasten them, that they clip into one another properly. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq inshallah. So we should make the outward, make our namaz correctly outwardly. Then inside also we must correct our namaz. As much as concentration, work towards it. It is taxing on the mind. Just to read a free namaz without thinking is easy. But when you tax your mind, you will find the pressure that will come. Like for example in a bayan, we are sitting all of us. Some of us, our minds might be wandering somewhere. So we don't feel the strain of the bayan. Some of us will concentrate. Especially there are those people that the women folk, now they are listening mostly on receivers, etc. There is arrangement. But when that was not there, the women folk would ask the husbands, what was the talk today? There were those wives who were so keen. Then the husband had to really listen. You can't be sleep away and you can't just take it easy. You had to listen properly because you have to go and repeat the whole bayan. And those who are making notes, they are also listening carefully. But those of us who are just casual, we're just listening, we're not listening, there is no strain on the brain. The same way with namaz also. It requires that pressure. And this is the mujahada of namaz, to do against the nafs. The nafs likes to be just thinking freely. Just let it roam and go wherever it wants to without any restriction. Haram, halal, jais, najais, anywhere, anything, the nafs likes that. But to pull it and bring it, not only to jais, but to bring it into namaz, it's quite an effort. And we should do that. Then we will know what namaz is. And the same applies with every aspect of ibadat, with especially with dua also. One is just a casual dua we make, that we don't, no concentration in that dua. Just we are repeating words and we are just saying things. But one is you are really asking for that thing. You are really begging for that thing. That is a great difference. The same with dhikr. Dhikr we are making mornings and evenings, Allah accept. But many of us, the dhikr also, our mind is not in the dhikr. Dhikr is actually to let us gain concentration. If we do our dhikr properly, our namaz concentration will come right. But our zikr concentration is not there. And therefore, in Hazrat's beautiful teachings, are these beautiful ash'ar in between. If we think of those ash'ar, and for that reason also, we should make zikr collectively. Then the ash'ar are it. And sometimes make zikr on your own without the ash'ar. And think and make the muraqabas that are required on all the various zikrs. Like for example, La ilaha illallah, laysa laha hijab dun Allah. That la ilaha, there is no veil, nothing that can block it, reaching the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. And that is the big storeroom there. And the zikr, Allahumma aftah aqfal qulubina bi dhikri. Oh Allah, open the doors of our hearts with your zikr. Zikr is the key that opens that storeroom. So Allah's arsh is the big storeroom. That every all khazain وَإِمْ مِنْ شَيْنْ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُهُ. That whatever there is, the treasures are by us, Allah Ta'ala says. So to open that storeroom, to open that treasures is the zikr of Allah. And from there then make muraqabah that it is coming into the heart. But don't put too much pressure on your mind. You could become very disturbed mentally. Hazrat stresses very much lightly, but not empty also, nothing whatsoever. We are just repeating, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, and we are thinking nothing. There is benefit in there also, great benefit in there also. But if we do it with the muraqabah, all the different, like for example, you make one muraqabah, that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam asked Allah Ta'ala for a special zikr. Allah said, read La ilaha illallah. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said that the whole, everyone reads. I want special. And that's it. Oh Musa, la ilaha, la ilaha. If you put it illallah one side of in the pen of the scale, in one pen, and on the other side you put the seven heavens and the earth, la ilaha illallah will outweigh it. So think what a kalima Allah has given me. Think also, so this muraqabah is important, this thinking, using our brains in all our ibadah. With this, the one muraqabah also, that la ilaha illallah, immediately a person who was in Jahannam goes to Jannat. The minute you read la ilaha illallah, a Jahannami becomes a Jannati. La ilaha illallah, a lanati on whom Allah's curses were falling, becomes the mawrad and the source of Allah's rahmat descending upon him. La ilaha illallah changes the nari into nuri. He was a fire, going to fire, he's gone into nur now. He was a Muslim, immediately he becomes he was a kafir, immediately he becomes a Muslim. So what the kalima Allah has given me. So all that in zikr and in namaz also. Everything in namaz. Two particular things we refer to, Allahu Akbar, which we are saying so many times and hearing in a day near 400 times. The greatness of Allah still hasn't entered our hearts. Everything else is greatness. The cell phone greatness is in our heart. Everything else, computer, their programs, their greatness is in our heart. But the greatness of Allah hasn't still come. And Surah Fatiha, which we repeat so much also. That reality of Surah Fatiha also. Also, to complete that subject, inshallah, for now, it is the subject matter of one hadith, that namaz in our deen is like the head in the body. You can have a head alone, but you can't find a body without a head. So the head is the most important. So namaz has got that position in our deen. Namaz is the most important. So we should work very, very greatly to getting five times namaz into our lives, into the lives of our families, our homes, everyone must be making. And also, our neighbors, our neighborhood, and then we try and go further and further in the whole of deen. But at least we try and make effort for namaz. May Allah give us tawfiq. Then the month of Shaban comes after Rajab, and the highlight of Shaban is the 15th night of Shaban, Shabi Bara'ah, and that is what you call it, Tawbah Istighfar. So this is the great thing also we should do before Ramzan. We try to explain wherever we could and whoever we could, wherever we could go, whoever we could tell, that before Ramadan, Tawbah must be made all the time. But Allah in His wisdom has kept 15 Shaban just before Ramzan, 15 days, 2 weeks before Ramzan, so that we purify and cleanse ourselves. If, for example, a person is getting married, whenever it is, but unfortunately many people on a Sunday morning they have nikah, so he comes 11 o'clock to the masjid, but he was a motor mechanic, and he was working on his car. And he's got his overall with all grease on his hands also, some grease on his face also, and he comes to the masjid to get married. Everyone will chase him away. Go and wash, go and take a bath, wear clean clothes, and then come here. Even when we come home, if we were working in the garden, or we were working on the car, and we want to come in the house, the wife also says, first you go to the tap outside and wash yourself. I won't allow you to come in my house until you are not clean. So in the same way, we are going into a huge, great month of Ramadan. So Allah gave us 15 Shaban to purify ourselves, to cleanse ourselves. And Allah Himself announces on that night, Hal min mustaghfirin, that is there anyone who wants to cleanse himself? I will cleanse him. I will forgive him. I will purify him. And also we see on a daily basis, Allah Ta'ala has made it, that usually a person works in the day, and he comes home, he goes and shower, or he washes up. Many people put on their pyjamas at night. Mothers see to their children, they tell them to go and bath, wash, put on your pyjamas, you are clean now. So Allah also made it. The whole day you were busy, you were on the streets, your eyes were going around, you were talking you were not careful about, you were doing business, how you did your business. So Allah put at night when you come, also a bath, awwabin namaz. Awwabin is another name for tawwabin, those who make tawbah in great abundance. And Allah Ta'ala loves those people who make tawbah. At-taibu min adh-dhamb kaman la dhanba lah. A person who makes tawbah of his guna is like a person who committed no guna whatsoever. May Allah grant us sincere tawbah of all our gunas. So, at-taibu habibullah. A person who makes tawbah is the beloved of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So Allah gave us that the whole day you are busy, all everything you are doing many wrong things. So make tawbah now. And then keep yourself clean. Mothers tell the children also, now you took a bath, you put on your clean pyjamas, you put on your clean clothes. Now see that you don't get dirty again. And how do we get dirty? We took up, we made awwabin namaz. Now we sit in front of the TV. Or we take the cell phone and we are watching wrong things, etc. So we get involved in there. So we dirtying ourselves again. So and for a daily basis also, and tawbah is not reserved only till we make a wabin namaz. And tawbah is not reserved only till 15 Shaban comes. It must be all the time. But Allah has highlighted these occasions that we become conscious of them. So 15 Shaban came and went. That was the time to make tawbah. But even now, we should make tawbah. Hazrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say so beautifully, if we are sitting in a majlis, in a bayan, and the thought came to us, or the bayan was about tawbah, istighfar, and sincerely at that time we made tawbah. Then, before we get up from that majlis, a person gets up as a wali of Allah. The minute a person makes tawbah, he's the wali of Allah. Because tawbah is the thing that is blocking us. We are Muslims, and what gunas also we are Muslims. We are still Muslims. We are not of that aqidah that if a person commits a guna kabira that is out of the fold of Islam, na'uzu billah. No, he's still a Muslim. But to become a close friend of Allah, to become a good Muslim, to become a perfect Muslim, cleanse ourselves of all our... And al-insan awwalun nas, awwalun nasin. First of man, kullukum min bani Adam. All of you are from Adam alayhi salatu wassalam, and all of you are sinners. And kullukum khatta'un, wa khayrul khatta'in at-tawwabun. All of you, we do slip up, but we make tawbah. So when once a person makes tawbah and see Allahu Akbar, what is the effect of tawbah? A person who hasn't got a sunnat beard, he's in guna, he's in a big guna, it is important, it is wajib in a sense that it is absolutely necessary to keep a proper sunnat beard for those who it grows. For those whom he doesn't grow, there is no what call it guna on them. But for those people who the beard grows, to trim it less than a first length on all three sides, and let it not cover the places it has to cover, which is the jaw. Lahya in Arabic, in Urdu and Gujarati, dari. That is the lower jaw. So if you open your mouth, you will feel your lower jaw. That is where the beard has to be. So on the cheek, for example, if you remove the hair, there is full permission. That's not part of the beard. The hair that grows on the throat, away from the hair of the beard, that is also not part of the beard. If you wish to, you can remove hair. But not so much. And this also how beautifully our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali explains it. He says, when there is a war taking place, that soldier to which army he belongs, if he's with that army, well and good, he fights with the army. But if he comes away from the army, he's a traitor, he's leaving the army, that the soldier is shot in the back because he's a traitor. So that hair that grows with the beard is part of the army. And that hair that grows away from it, it can be shot in the back. You can remove it which is away from the beard. So that's not part of the beard. You can remove that. There is permission for that. So anyway, so if a person hasn't got a sunnah beard, and he makes tawbah, he hears a bayan about the importance of keeping beard. Every Nabi kept a beard. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stressed it so much. And all the ulama are unanimous that we should keep a beard. And he decides, he hasn't got a beard, but he decides, makes sincere intention. And he makes toba that all these days I was shaving my beard. From now I'm going to keep a proper sunnat beard. The proper beard. Immediately that guna is off. His beard is not going to grow as soon as he makes toba. Or tomorrow morning he looks in the mirror and he sees he's got a full beard. That will not happen. But that guna is off him. And if he happens to die after that, after he made toba, he won't be asked that you didn't keep a sunnat beard. Because he made sincere toba, his guna is made ma. At the same time, also on that point, we should also remember that if Allah has blessed us to keep a proper sunnat beard, and we look down upon somebody who hasn't got a sunnat beard, that we are more pious than that person, then we are more sinful. Though we got our beard also, we got our five times namaz, but we look down upon somebody who is not making his five times namaz. We look down upon somebody who hasn't got sunnat in his life. Then we are more sinful than that person. We should be very, very careful. We have to, and yet we have to advise him also. If we can't do it directly, get somebody else to advise him. We can't do it directly, ask him just to go in jamaat. How many people, nobody tells them about keeping a beard in jamaat. They keep beards. Ask him to come khanqa, to go to some shaykh. Keep on meeting with some pious person. The effect of that meeting will be that deen will come and he will become conscious. And somewhere along the line, something will strike him. And he will think that I must do my work, everything, according to deen. How many people, I get surprised myself. I see the person, what kind of beard he has got or no beard. Suddenly you see, so he says that we were coming regular to majlis, etc. The barakat of that, now we have kept a proper sunnat beard. We have changed our lives. Many people, it happens. So just by that also it happens. So anyway, so we should not look down upon anyone. And we must make tawbah of all our gunas, things which gunas have we got in us. And namaz is one that I explained, and many of us, when we start making namaz, we forget our past and we think. One time, one person in the mataf of Makkah Sharif told Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahib, complained to him, that look at these people, that they haven't got beards, they haven't got sunnah dress, they got western attire and all that. So Maulana asked him, how many years are you making namaz? He said about 30-40 years. He asked him, how many faraz in namaz? He didn't know. How many sunnats in namaz? He didn't know. He said 30-40 years, this person might have come the first time. And you are looking down upon him. And you are making namaz for 30-40 years, you don't know how many, for what are the faraiz of namaz, sir. You don't know what are the sunan of namaz, how many, which things are sunnat in namaz. And 30-40 years you're making namaz. So we should never look down upon anyone. And at the same time, our duty to try and encourage the person also. But that also with great respect, and regard him as a very, very valuable person who in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala. And the example of this our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali gave, which Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali said, as a Shaykh in a Khanqa, and Hazrat was very strict in his matters, he says, I have to reprimand people also. But he says, I cry in my du'as that, Ya Allah, if I've exceeded my limit, and I reprimanded somebody more severely than what it was, please forgive me. And the example of this our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to give was that of a Jallad. Jallad is the person in the king's court who is to punish people. So the prince himself did something wrong. So the king tells the Jallad, the person who gives the punishment, that punish the prince, my son. Now he has to keep two things. He has to punish him also, and he's the king's son. He has to keep that also in mind. So, and just like that, whenever we have to correct somebody, even if it is our own children, or the husband has to correct the wife, or the wife wants to tell the husband, the correction also must be done. But at the same time, think this is Allah's, who Allah said, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. He's Bani Adam and we have given great honor. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. We created man in the best of form. This best creation of Allah Ta'ala. He is Allah's mehman. He is Allah's banda. And I have to correct him. So we have to be very careful also how we do it. So anyway, we should make tawbah. And if we haven't done still so, then we should do it now. And do it regularly. All the time. Toba is a juz-e la yinfak, a part that we cannot, juz-e lazim for us. And we as such, when the ayat was revealed, that وَبِالْ أَسْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ, that at Sehri time, Tahajjud time, those people who make istighfar, Allah is praising those people in this ayat, all the people who have got great qualities. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are these people who steal, who drink liquor, commit adultery, are they those people whom Allah is referring to? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, yeah, Allah is referring to those people who made tahajjud the whole night, and who made dua the whole night, and who made muraqabah the whole night. So they, at the end, they say, ya Allah, please forgive us, that we could not fulfill your right. When Allah is so great, nobody can know the greatness of Allah. When Sayyidul Anbiya, the king of all the Anbiya, the master of all the Anbiya said, Ma arafnaka haqqa ma'rifati, we haven't recognized you as we are supposed to recognize you. And also we can say, Ma araftuka ma'rifatan, I haven't recognized you one bit, O my Allah. Allah is so much, which the judge Nazir Akbar Ilahabadi, he said it so beautifully, to mere dil mein aata hai, meri samaj mein nahi aata. Oh Allah, I believe in you in my heart 100%, but I can't fathom you. How you look, where are you, how are you, what are you, what your work is, how great you are, I can't fathom you. To mere dil mein aata hai, meri samaj mein nahi aata, main jaan gaya yahi teri pehchan hai. I realize this is recognizing you, that I can't recognize you. You are beyond, only anta kama afnayta ala nafsik. Only Allah knows himself, his greatness. Otherwise, nobody can know. Just one aspect while we're on that, which is part of our talks as we will go, the marifat of Allah, the recognition to know who Allah Ta'ala is. Just one aspect, يَسْأَلُهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, whoever and whatever there is in the heavens and earth, they begging of Allah. In other words, everyone is totally dependent on Allah. Now think not of the whole world, 6-7 billion people. How many animals, big sizes, small sizes, how many birds, species of birds, how many insects, worms, all, everything. Cut out all that, just think of yourself. And each person, Allah has got a direct relationship with each person. And not yourself, that is also too big. Insan is alam-e-azghar, is a small world, is a whole world of his own. That just your eyes alone, and how many parts in the eyes, and Allah directly is looking after and made each part of your eye. If just the fluid which is in the eye, if it becomes too much or too less, is a problem. And the retina and the pupil and how many other things there are, the connection of the eyes with the brain again, Allah Ta'ala is watching it all the time, every moment. And Allah is directly in control. Allah alone is the maker of that eye. Allah alone is the controller and sustainer of that eye. Everyone, one lady just phoned home to Appa. She said when she woke up in the morning, she's seeing her husband, there are two husbands. There's something wrong with her eyes. Everything she's seeing double. Allah save us all and give shifa to her and to all the people. How many people who have got eye problem, people who have got kidney problem, people who have got heart problem, liver problem, joints problem, bone problem, marrow problem, blood problem, leukemia, what things. And Allah is in charge of one thing, 360 joints in the body. Allah is in charge, and one joint, how many things it has got in it. It's not just one joint and that's all. How many things there are in there? Allahu Akbar. How great is not Allah? Allah khallaqe aveem. What a great creator. Khallaqe aleem. How he has created. What perfection Allah has created. If you look at the stars, astronomy, how they are moving. Each star is moving at a fantastic speed, but no accidents. Throughout the world, the little traffic jams that we have, too much traffic, the whole world, everywhere too much traffic, and daily there are accidents, bumper bashing, whatever it is, sometimes such terrible accidents, where it's not out on the freeway where people are speeding 180 and 200 kilometers per hour. On suburban roads, one whole kumbi lot of people, 14 people dead on the spot. Yeah, how lot of X, but the stars, the sun and the moon, they are moving at what speed, but no accident ever. What is the system of Allah? We can't imagine. So Allah Ta'ala, who is so great, so we have to have that connection with Allah and know Allah Ta'ala. So every person, then your nose, your lips, your teeth, each tooth, and one tooth, how many things there are in a teeth? If you look at it, when you go to the dentist and they show you the tooth, it's made up of so many things. The roots, the top part has got something inside again. There are so many things in it. Allahu Akbar, Allah is the creator of all the teeth, not of human beings, of animals, of birds, of whatever has got teeth, of all Allah's creation. How great is not Allah Ta'ala. So anyway, so when a person will realize the greatness of Allah, then he will realize my ibadat, my whole night's tahajjud, where can I fulfill the right? Therefore, the dua we are taught at the end of namaz, Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira, I've done a great wrong to myself. The greatest teacher, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The greatest student ever, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. The greatest subject, namaz. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching it to Sayyidina Abu Bakr. And at the end he teaches him, I must read, oh Allah, I did a great wrong to myself. You perform namaz, you were in the masjid. What wrong did you do? Because we can't do it properly. That is for those people who are pious and they make their tawbah. For people like us, or rather than like myself, open gunas, and yet we regard ourselves as so pious and so righteous. Hey, how we just see somebody, a bad thought comes in our mind. And that is bad gumani, that is bad zani, that is a gunai kabira, to have bad thoughts. We just came of its own, you are not responsible. But better also ask Allah, Ya Allah, please, I don't want to have any bad thoughts about anyone. That this is a show off now. Now he's boasting like this. Now he's carrying on like this. This person doesn't know anything about himself and he's acting now, making long namazes. All these thoughts come to a person. About woman thoughts come. Other evil thoughts come to a person. What thoughts come to a person? How don't we have to make? And we like that, just the thought coming is not a guna when we entertain the thought. And how many of us entertain a thought in namaz also? And a thought is such a thing that it has got no, it doesn't need a road to come. From you are bombarded with thoughts all the time. And they are coming into your mind all the time. And then what one thought will make you do what and what in life? How many people, just the thought, I must have a second wife. And there, his ease doesn't start, his troubles start. And what troubles he goes into after that. If you discarded the thought, you are safe. But otherwise, what? Or having an illicit affair with a woman. Just that one thought came. Or just something brought it into you. And there you are off now. And you changes your whole life also. Your outlook of life will change also. Everything of yours can change. So these thoughts, and they just come. And bad thoughts about people. One time, it was Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi, most probably. He was walking on the streets of Baghdad and he saw a young, healthy, strong person begging. So what thoughts come to a person? That a young man, he can earn his living, he can work, why must he beg? Anyway, it passed. He didn't give it much thought, just he thought like that. At night when he slept, two farishtas, angels, came to him in his dream and gave him rotten pig meat to eat. So he said, how can I eat this? Pig meat, haram and rotten, out of the question. But they say, you ate in the day, so what's wrong if you eat now? When you just that thought that you thought that person, why? So then he realized that some great buzur. I was thinking that he's a beggar and like that. So he went out looking for him the next day. When he found him, saw him walking in front, begging still, he turned around. He said, oh, you have come to ask me for forgiveness now. Then he realized really he's such a great buzur that Allah gave him kashf and informed him that what he was thinking about him. And who is Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi. Allahu Akbar. Then he asked him, then why are you begging? He says, so that pride doesn't come in me. Eh? That I don't think I'm somebody great. So we see people in different conditions, we must not take anything for granted. But we are too quick to, before the person, that comes in the hadith, before people will ask you to give evidence, you'll give evidence, you'll go forward. Eh? Just like that, before people ask you for a fatwa, you're giving the fatwa already to yourself. That nobody asked you for a fatwa, and you giving, this one is like this, that one is like that, that one is like that. And our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali say, some people, really, they had bad lives. They committed great gunas. But you don't know, many of us, my own personal experience, friends that we were with, and study days, we knew how they were, but how Allah pushed them ahead. They've gone far ahead. Now we're still thinking of that friend of those days, what he was. How he should not attend classes, what he used to do, and what he used to, all the wrong things we think what he used to do. And that is now we have written him off. He's like that. But Allah, when he wants to, daily, on a daily basis, كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَانٍ, on a daily basis, Allah sees who he wants to push front. And who is front, and he wants to bring him back. Allahu Akbar. What a serious matter we should consider. Allah says, وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَنَذْهَبَنَّ بِالَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ. That, O Nabi Muhammad, Allah's Rasul, who is being addressed? If we want to, we can take all that away from you. Eh? So, just imagine where we stand, that a person is proud that I am a very pious person, and we write off this person, and write off that person. If Allah wants to, Allah, when one time, Jibreel alayhi salam, Mikail alayhi salam, the great malaika, they were sahamge in English, they stood still, they were shocked, they couldn't move. And for thousands of years, Allah asked them why. They said, Shaitan, Iblis, how many years your ibadah? How lot he did? And he was thrown out of your court in one moment. And we are afraid, we don't know what is in your ilm, O Allah. What is in our future, we don't know. We are afraid. Allah says, just be like that. Have that fear all the time. Never think that I am somebody great today, and that person is like this, this person is like that. Sometimes we taunt the wife, that you're useless, you're not fit for anything or anything. Or the wife taunts the husband, or anything like that, or anyone else. The way we just write off people, that's very, very dangerous. And also we don't know who has made sincere tawbah. And still to hold that guna against the person who made sincere tawbah, many of Hazrat Ash'ar on that point. That you don't know how that person has changed. So anyway, this 15th of Shaban that had come was a great gift from Allah Ta'ala also to purify and cleanse ourselves for this great and honorable month of Ramadan. Imagine if a person, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, oh Anas, if you can, when you go to sleep at night, cleanse your heart and mind of any type of malice, hatred, jealousy, any bad feelings, bad thoughts for any and for everyone. And he said, this is my sunnah. So that is a better sunnah. Many of us, Gujarati people especially, we ask whether it is sunnah to eat something sweet before meals or after meals. And we are those great muhaddithin that we make jama bain riwayate, that we have it before also and after. So we make jama between the riwayats, our own riwayats, and we make jama between them. That we have it before and after, before and after. But this sunnah nobody asks. To stay, go hungry, that sunnah nobody asked. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, in the battle of Hunayn, they complained that they had to fasten stones to their stomach because of hunger. And when he lifted up his kurta, two stones were fastened. That sunnah we don't even think about. Yes, the sunnah about eating sweet, and we are so pious that even our sweet we must know, must do it according to sunnah. And to be safe, eat it before meals also, and eat it after meals also. But just sunnah also that you keep your heart clean is not easy. People have told you many things. People are conspiring against you. You know it also. But yet you are commanded to keep your heart clean. So this is what is also very, very important. So if a person who is clean, outwardly a person, like a person who bridegroom coming to get, or the bride going to sit on the stage, which is wrong of course, but just giving an example according to how we have weddings, and she's all filthy and dirty, she was working the whole night and she's sweating and she didn't shower, she's sitting there, how does it look? But if the bride is clean, spotless, made up beautiful, the groom is made up beautiful, clean, and for the month of Ramadan you're going to receive it, and we receive it in a dirty state. And we're getting a guest at home, and the room that we want to give the room, when the guests come, we can't find the keys for the house or the gate. Now the poor guest is standing there for 1 hour in the sun, and then finally when you bring him in, now you're asking which is the room for the guest. And when you take him to his room, then you find it's in a mess, the whole room. Well, that guest wants to stay there. If he's worth anything, he'll say, I'll rather, anywhere else I'll go, but I can't stay like this here. So the month of Ramadan, what a glorious month, which comes with Quran Sharif, which comes with acceptance of du'as, which comes with the shayateen, rebellious shayateen being chained up and being thrown one side. And this month that comes with a month of sabr, and a month of shukr, and a month of ibadah, and a month where the doors of Jannah are open, the doors of Jahannam are closed, and we receive it in a dirty state. So we have to cleanse ourselves. Clean ourselves, then we will appreciate this month and we'll know. Otherwise, it will be a burden for us. A guest that you didn't want, an unwanted guest, uncalled for guest, you treat him also in that way, that he also feels the quicker I go, the better. So if we treat Ramadan like that, if we haven't appreciated, and we just feel that Ramadan is a burden of a month, na'uzu billah, then what are we going to get? And Ramadan hasn't come as a guest to enjoy our food. Ramadan has come, Allah opens the doors of rozi in Ramadan for the mu'mini. And Allah Ta'ala for this month, Allah Ta'ala gives, the month of Ramadan has come to give us, not to take from us. It has come here not to sleep in our homes. It has come to keep us awake in this month. If Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. It has come not to give food and ask for food. It has come to keep us hungry. So that we can get the enjoyment of hunger. And in hunger there is enjoyment. And to feel how the poor people feel. One person, a buzurg, crooks got in at his place. What did the poor buzurg have? Nothing. As the crooks were leaving, he threw a blanket in their way, that they'll be sorry that they went empty-handed. At least they got a blanket and they went. So Ramadan, if it goes empty-handed from us, and we stayed empty-handed from Ramadan, the hadith that we read, the three curses Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam of Jibreel alaihi wasallam, to which Rahmatul Lil Alameen said, Ameen. That you find the month of Ramadan and you were not forgiven. May Allah not make us amongst those people. So this is that month that we make sincere tawbah of all our gunas. Sincere tawbah of the namazes we have missed. Rozas we have missed. Rozas we have messed up in the past. We lied in roza. We made ghibat in roza. We messed up our rozas. All our, how many other ibadats we messed up. And how many we didn't do. How many wrong things we have done. This is the time to make tawbah and go into this pure month and get all the goodness. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.